Seattle! Listen to me! We are not barbarians! We are not Neanderthals! And we are not French!
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to our top stories this hour. Man, that coffee shop keeps getting hit down Shoreline. Firebombed last year. Nazi swastika painted on there. Burglarized today. I've talked to the police, and the FBI was even called in to investigate. And even the FBI, they couldn't find any suspects in any of these crimes against that business. Man. Before I get to our local stuff here, I played you an audio clip an hour ago, and this isn't going to get any attention by the networks. If this was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, if Donald Trump was president, this would knock the hurricane off of the network newscast, because we have a president who is clearly suffering from dementia. I don't know how the media can just ignore this. The people in the White House press corps, they're doing a good job trying to press this, but this is a really shocking story. Joe Biden was at an event, and he was trying to introduce the politicians who were there. And he says, "Where's Jackie?" And he puts his hand over his eyes. He's scanning the crowd. "Where's Jackie? I thought Jackie was going to be here." Jackie Walorski is a congresswoman who died a little over a month ago in a horrible car accident. Two of her aides were killed, too. And, I mean, I don't want Kamala Harris as president, but clearly if there was a reason for the 25th Amendment, it's if you have a president who is suffering from advancing dementia. This is dangerous as a nation. So, and then just hearing the White House spokeswoman pretending like it did not happen. If you weren't listening last hour, so here was Biden trying to find the dead congresswoman.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I thought she was going to be here. No, she's dead. And so just a couple hours ago, the White House spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, she was asked about Biden, who's suffering from dementia.
Final one. What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor.
So she's pretending like it didn't happen and like it was not a sign of dementia.
It's coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing.
She was on his mind, so that's why he was scanning the crowd for a dead woman?
He sees her family this coming
Friday. This is bizarre.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
On top of a mind that is fading fast.
He was at an event, you all saw, you all watched, which is why you're asking the question, right? Where he was calling out, again, congressional leaders, a bipartisan leadership that we have seen on this particular issue. And again, he's going to see her family.
So then she tries to move on.
That is not an unusual scenario there.
Karine, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation. Why okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Then she wants to move on. But this is the press corps. They've got a story. The president of the United States of America has dementia.
Go ahead.
happening with the police.
Apologize.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. There are
Americans are watching this that are having concerns.
Like
what do you say to that? This is a legitimate question. We need to have some answers.
It is. There's a legitimate question. We need to have some answers. So finally, the press is doing its job. Somebody besides Peter Ducey.
At the end of the year, what can you tell us about
that? I'm sorry.
That?
Somebody was yelling over you, so go ahead.
There are reports that the Treasury Secretary yelled.
The woman, we're asking about the mental acuity of the president. He was looking for a dead woman. Can you remember when Donald Trump used two hands to take a sip of water? And MSNBC and CNN, they were almost playing it on a continuous loop for 48 hours. But here's a president scanning an audience for a dead woman. And are the networks going to ignore this? The president of the United States of America clearly has dementia. And even the White House press corps that has been protecting him and tried to get him elected, even they recognize, but the danger, of course, is if they invoke the 25th Amendment, you got Kamala Harris, who at full brain is more daffy than Joe Biden at half-mast. It's unbelievable. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Crime in Seattle, still horrible. There was a shooting in Pioneer Square, middle of the day yesterday. Guy shot in the neck.
In broad daylight.
This is ridiculous.
A frustrating and familiar scene played out on 3rd and Yesler Way. A 27-year-old man on a stretcher is rushed into an ambulance, fighting for his life after police say he was shot in the neck.
That's ComoNews.com. People are getting shot in the neck in the middle of the day. And then also yesterday, there was a guy who got off a Metro bus. Remember, we're giving kids free rides on the Metro bus so they can be with the people sniffing the fentanyl fumes. And a guy was arrested with two Molotov cocktails on a Metro bus, a 31-year-old guy. And this guy's got a police record longer than you're in my arms included. And along with two Molotov cocktails, he had a mostly full gallon can of camp fuel. So who knows what he was doing with it. It was a bottle that had Juliet written on it. We don't know who was being targeted, but things are getting worse instead of better, even with all the emphasis Bruce Harrell's pretending that he's putting on this matter. And in some related news of what's going on around here, up next in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
Well, as you know, there is strength in numbers. And one of the people I really appreciate, because he works as hard to fight the crime problem as anybody I know in media, is my friend David Rose at Fox 13. And David and I are always sharing stories with each other for that very reason. There's strength in numbers. And David told me about a story you need to know about, because there's a real bad dude on the loose right now. David Rose from Fox 13 joins us once again here in the Dory Monson Show. David, always good to talk to you, sir.
Hey, Dory, good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your help, because definitely want to get the word out about this guy. I'm so sick of these people just hurting kids in our community and innocent victims. It just disgusts me. So I appreciate your help.
Yeah, well, we talked just a week or two ago about two guys who were on the run, and we just updated our web story to get their pictures out again, because too often these horrible criminals go uncaught, and we're doing our best to reel them in. So tell me what you know about this Michael Allen Weirmouth.
Yeah, so prosecutors rush filed a case on this guy for child rape and a bunch of other heinous crimes after detectives in King County say that he groomed this then 14-year-old, now 15-year-old girl using social media, particularly using through the Instagram app, messaging app, and gave her and smoked meth with her and weed, and then sexually assaulted, raped her 8 times at least. So they rush filed charges. They issued a $500,000 warrant last Thursday, which means bail will automatically be $500,000 when he's arrested. He knows he's wanted. He has not been home. He lives with his mom in Kent. He's 58 years old. His car is there. We don't know where he is. So Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward of up to $1,000 for tips to find him. The big concern, Dory, is that the detectives say he works as a little league umpire in the Maple Valley area. and they're worried about access to other kids or maybe other victims.
Well, and as I was reading the charging documents you shared with me, David, what makes this particularly heinous is they describe the girl that he was grooming and drugging as someone who had suffered a traumatic brain injury. So she already has the impairment of that. And then this 58-year-old guy is doing what he did to get his hands on her for sex. I mean, it's just an absolutely reprehensible story.
Yeah, you know, it is horrendous. And we tried to find some of the Little League programs to figure out, you know, where he might have been around kids. We know he worked for the city of Maple Valley for only 2 days coaching or umpiring adult softball in early September, but we have not been able to locate yet the Little Leagues. We haven't heard back yet. So we're hoping to hear from more people today that know him, or, you know, maybe he umpired their kids' games and try to get a better picture of this guy. You know, these are predators that try to run under the radar. And when they actively avoid law enforcement, won't even, you know, sit down for an interview, there's a huge concern about, you know, what they're capable of doing. He does have a felony criminal history. It was knocked down to felony harassment back in 1997, but he was originally charged with assault in second degree for threatening a woman with a knife. So he does have a history. How he passed the background check, I have no idea. That's another thing to look at.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking as I was reading that, because almost every youth sports organization, you do have to go through a police background check to be a coach or an umpire or an official. And I don't know if a 25-year-old felony would be an automatic disqualifier. I need to look into that. But do you know if he has any crimes on the books between 1997 and then this accusation now?
He has nothing that we could find, and there's nothing listed in the court docs. But I'll tell you, Dory, on his Facebook page, Michael Wearmouth, if you scroll down, he's bragging that he passed the background check, like publicly bragging and wearing his umpire uniform. So he knew there was a possibility he wasn't gonna pass it. So, and you know what else is disgusting? When you look through his pictures, it's got him at the fields, baseball fields. And then the last picture is him taking a picture of a woman that he clearly doesn't know, just from the backside, just showing her butt. And this is just a creep. I mean, come on. Seriously? Yeah. You know, that's everything about this just turns your stomach.
So they believe he's in California. But you were telling me, I think off air, that he was at the Puyallup Fair on Friday?
Well, he posted that he was at the Doobie Brothers and posted his ticket that he went to see them Friday night. He had a friend told detectives they thought he went to California, but it's believed that he's, you know, around here. Regardless, you know, it's an extraditable warrant. So if they can figure out exactly where he is, you know, they'll bring him back. But the feeling is he's still right here in this area, in the Kent area, the Covington area, the Maple Valley area, but could be as well in Pierce County.
Well, I know you're featuring him on Fox 13. We'll get a picture out as well. I just, you know, I've told you this a million times. I so admire the work you do when you're doing Western Washington's Most Wanted. How many captures did you guys end up with on Western Washington's Most Wanted?
Yeah, I end up with 1,243, but, you know, I've still, you know, kept that going. I reached out to Pierce County and King County this week asking for domestic violence fugitives to air them on the spotlight this week to do like a DV crackdown, because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So I'm continuing to push for tips. I mean, you know, your listeners, our viewers, they need to know who's among us that's going to hurt our kids, hurt our families. So any chance I get to do that, any law enforcement agency wants help, I'm there for them, and I'll do whatever I can.
Well, and so many of these horrible crimes are going completely unpunished. And we hear about shootings almost every day. And I know in the vast majority of them, they never find a suspect. And so we don't know how many people have been shot by each of these guys on the run. But it's a very dangerous situation. And especially as short-staffed as our police agencies are, it's making it easier and easier for people to get away with crime. So I know that's why you do what you do. I know that's my motivation as well, because there's a horrible plague on our region.
Yeah, we can't just throw our hands up in the air. It is harder. Police do have to get more creative. There are some that are escaping, but, you know, they're eventually going to be held to justice. I know we're all frustrated they get out on bail, but eventually they have to pay the piper when they're convicted and go to prison. You know, our justice system is upside down right now, but with people like you, Dory, and in my work continuing, you know, hopefully things will right themselves. And you know, bottom line is, we got victims out there hurting. So if you can help them, if I can help them, you know, then we got to do that. It's our responsibility.
And you told me there's another bad guy that you're tracking right now?
Yeah, Marcus Wagger down in Pierce County. I mean, this guy has warrants for assault, attempted theft. Now, here's the guy that your average listener is going to run into. He's out there stealing catalytic converters. And when neighbors approach him, he's either pulling guns on him or he rammed one vehicle into the neighbor who confronted him and pinned that neighbor into another vehicle in Puyallup, broke that neighbor's ribs, and then took off. Now he's involved in possible shootings in Bonnie Lake. He's been seen in the Bonnie Lake area. He's got multiple felony warrants out for his arrest. Marcus Wagger, he's got giant earlobes. You know those big earlobes? You maybe thought about getting those one time, Dory. You know those?
Yeah, that would have been a good look on me. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a meth face, too. I mean, he's clearly needs treatment, needs to be off the street, and he is a danger. And there are police and deputies all over Pierce County asking for tips to find this guy.
All right. Well, I know you're getting pictures up. We will as well on My Northwest, and we'll do everything we can. David, great work as always, and thanks for looping me in when you have stories like this, and I'll do the same with you.
Oh, Dory, thank you. Appreciate your help.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Talk to you later.
You got it. David Rose. Man, there's a radio guest right there.
Oh, my gosh.
David Rose.
Ball of energy, that guy.
Yes. That's how you do it. That's how you bring it. You know, some people come on and they're, you know, just very FM DJ-like. And then you got David Rose.
Right off the bat. Hey, Dory.
Yeah.
it was such a fun guy.
It was so funny. Before we went on the air today, I was talking to him. And he said, oh, I'm with an old friend of yours. And he goes, do you remember? And as you know, Nicole, I hate hearing the words, do you remember? Ugh. Because the answer is always, always no.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, do you remember Chuck? And he tells him Chuck's last name. He goes, when you were selling memberships at Olympic Racket and Health Club in Ballard, which is a job I got when I was 17. And apparently Chuck worked with me at Olympic. And I happened... one of my daughters just joined Olympic a couple weeks ago, and I happened to find my old employee card when I was 17 years old that had my picture on it. So I texted it to David, and he thought that I looked like Tom Cruise in Risky Business. And I told him, well, I wasn't getting any Rebecca De Mornays back then, I guarantee you that. But
he's
who? Fun. She's the woman in Risky Business.
I got it.
But yeah, he's just a fun guy. He's a good friend.
He is. He's very good to the show too.
Good people.
Yeah.
All right. And all that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then we've got some, we might get a jump on our awesome audio because we got some other, Joe Biden stuff to share. I'm also looking at your feedback about a president clearly suffering from dementia. And what should we do? I mean, if they invoke the 25th Amendment, we got Kamala, and she's worse. These are tough times. Also, if Ron DeSantis starts speaking live, he was scheduled to start around 2:30 our time. We might dip in on that just to get the latest information for you. What's happening with Hurricane Ian? 1 million Floridians are without power. 150-mile-an-hour winds hitting the state. So we'll keep you posted on that national news as well. It's a very busy news afternoon, and we have lots more to come here in the Dory Monson Show. Well, they were telling us a while ago that Ron DeSantis was going to speak at 2:30 about Hurricane Ian, but there's no sign that that's anything imminent. If so, we'll dip in and bring you a little bit of that. 1 million people in Florida are without power right now. There are islands that are almost underwater. Sanibel Island is just, man, the streets all look like rivers on Sanibel. So this is a significant event. You know, we were talking earlier, and this is gaining some traction. That even the far left mainstream media isn't ignoring this really weird, that's not weird, it's just a very sad moment of dementia by Joe Biden earlier today, where he scanned the crowd at an event for a congresswoman who died a month ago. But what's even weirder is the way his spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, how she handled it. You know, when the press asked her, she should have just said, you know what, the president forgot that she passed away last month and he really regrets that. Done. Then everybody's done. But instead, she spends 2 minutes sparring that she was on the top of his mind, and that's why he said that. And it's just bizarre how they're covering up for this guy. But it's scary too, because there's stuff going on in the world. You know, not this hurricane that's devastating Florida, but you know, the Nord Stream pipeline between Russia and Germany. It was sabotaged, or at least they're claiming it was sabotaged, but it's badly damaged. And the Russians are claiming now that Joe Biden just followed through on a promise that he made last February, and this was a bizarre thing for Joe Biden to say last February, but it's when there were whispers of war between Russia and Ukraine, and Joe Biden in February said this.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly? Since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control.
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
There will be no Nord Stream 2. And now Nord Stream 2 has been destroyed or badly damaged. And back in February, Joe Biden said he would do that. Well, if this was able to be traced to the United States, that would be an act of war. I mean, can you imagine if Russia blew up a major pipeline that was feeding the United States of America? That would be an act of war. And this is why it's so important that Joe Biden has dementia. And, you know, last February, he said he was going to blow up Nord, or, you know, take it out. There will be no more Nord Stream 2. And now Nord Stream 2 is a work of sabotage. I mean, the European Union is saying it was a work of sabotage. And Joe Biden in February said that he would take out Nord Stream 2. And so if Russia believes that Joe Biden just followed through on what he promised last February, and they see that as an act of war, then we might have a nuclear World War III. The United States of America simply cannot have a president with dementia. And that is what was clearly on, in any case you missed it, I've played it a couple of times, but this is a hugely important bit of audio at this event earlier today when he was looking for a congresswoman who died in a car crash a month ago.
And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I thought she was going to be here. She's dead. And he used to know that she was dead, but he doesn't anymore. And he didn't even try to say her last name. Her last name is Walorski. And that's why he stopped, because he said everybody else's last name. And then he goes, Jackie. And he realized he couldn't read Walorski on a teleprompter. So he stops and then starts scanning the audience for a dead woman. So bizarre.
Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
If his spokesperson had just said, yeah, you know what, he forgot that she had just passed away a month ago and really regrets it, it's over. But instead she spends 2 minutes fighting with the press corps about this. Biden said he was going to take out Nord Stream 2. Somebody took out Nord Stream 2 the last couple of days. Russia could see that as an act of war. And we got a guy with dementia at the top. And what's even worse is who's waiting in the wings, even if they did invoke the 25th Amendment.
In terms of what we also know to be the fractures and the fissures in our system, in particular as it relates to the supply chain. Many of us talked about the weakness of the supply chain even before the pandemic. It was almost predictable, but the pandemic brought it to the fore in a very vivid and clear way, which is that we have to diversify our reliance on essential supplies. Japan, the United States, and the world.
She's the most unclear communicator imaginable. And that's who's waiting in the wings for the United States of America right now. And the mainstream press should be absolutely ashamed of itself, because these are very precarious times. And today, Joe Biden showed off his dementia in unequivocal form. Pretty amazing. Okay, quick timeout. We have a fine batch of our awesome audio of the day. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. We do have breaking news in Florida. Let's just, for a few seconds, let's drop in on Governor DeSantis with a million Floridians out of power right now.
Power, and that's something that's very, very important. In terms of rescue efforts, obviously there's robust efforts in each of these counties. I mean, some of these are major counties in our state, like Lee County, Collier County. They've got great response teams. The state of Florida, you know, we are providing a lot of support that's staged and ready to go. We have almost 250 aircraft, more than 1,600 high water vehicles, and more than 300 boats of all drafts and sizes, including 250 already stationed in the major impacted areas, and nearly 50 that are staged and immediately ready to come in.
So we're going to keep rolling on this, but one thing that strikes me is Ron DeSantis really comes across as a leader in a time of crisis like this. And in many ways, he's getting quite a national profile, but it's a shame that it's taking so much devastation in Florida for him to get the platform he has today. But keep all those Floridians in your prayer, because it was pretty brutal. 150, now it's up to 1.1 million without power down in Florida. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
All right. We've been talking about Joe Biden looking for a dead woman, a dead congresswoman in the crowd at an event today, and how his spokesperson, just unbelievable way she handled this.
Look, he was at an event you all saw, you all watched, which is why you're asking the question, right, where he was calling out, again, congressional leaders, a bipartisan leadership that we have seen on this particular issue. And again, he's going to see her family in just 2 days. And she was on top of mind. I mean, that is not an unusual scenario.
And again, I'll repeat, if she'd said, you know what, the president forgot that the congresswoman passed away last month and he really is sorry, that was it. But instead, she does this and dances for minutes.
I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation. Why? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
At the end of the year, what can you tell us
about
that?
I'm sorry, somebody was yelling over you, so go ahead.
There are reports that Treasury Secretary Yellen is looking to leave.
It is not your turn to speak, and you're being rude to your colleagues, and let your colleague answer the question. Go ahead.
The woman saying this is about the mental acuity of the president, and we deserve an answer, and she is right, and this is a bizarre way to handle it.
Go ahead. No, you're yelling and over your colleague, so... That is incredibly rude. So can you go ahead?
There are reports the Treasury Secretary...
Unbelievable. President with dementia. Let's see. The hurricane in Florida. CNN has decided to make this not about the hurricane, the effects, the impact, but they just seem to have one thing on their mind. Don Lemon, earlier today.
Can you tell us what this is and what effect climate change has on this phenomenon?
Well, we can come back and talk about climate change at a later time. I want to focus on the here and now. We think the rapid intensification is probably almost done. There could be a little bit more intensification as it's still over the warm waters of the eastern Gulf of Mexico. But I don't think we're going to get any more rapid intensification.
This guest wouldn't take the climate change.
Listen, I'm just trying to get that. You said you want to talk about climate change, but what effect does climate change have on this phenomenon that is happening now? Because it seems these storms are intensifying. That's the question.
I don't think you can link climate change to any one event. Okay. On the whole, on the cumulative, climate change may be making storms worse.
This is why CNN is in the toilet. And then their reporter, Bill Weir, out in the middle of the hurricane.
It's hard to build power lines or building codes for 17-foot storm surge, though. That's the crazy variable here. Right now, no one has ever seen that, so we don't know what that looks like. But this is exactly what climate scientists have been warning about for a long time, and now we get to see it out close. John?
Wow. I mean, that is fake news right there, trying to tie this hurricane to climate change. It is just so bizarre. Advice News, they tried to make a sympathy piece about how we should reintegrate sex offenders into society. But then?
And we all got to make it happen. It ain't nothing stopping me. So, like, I'm very hopeful and confident.
After this interview, Ashif sent a picture of his penis to our producer.
They were trying to make a case for reintegrating sex offenders into society. And that guy may have undercut that a little bit. All right, and then finally, at the beginning of my show, right before our show started at 12:02, CBS News, they get 3 minutes at the top of the hour to cover everything that's going on in the country and in the world. And I was a little incredulous that this was the story they went with.
A major story today in the world of candy. CBS's Steve Futterman has the sweet.
Okay, like Nicole said earlier, I thought it was going to be a fentanyl story, how they're poisoning our kids. But no.
Deets.
In addition to blue, yellow, brown, orange, red, and green, add purple to the M&M's lineup, and there's even a welcoming video.
Hey, Purple, 10 minutes to your big debut.
I'm the new M&M's candy.
Mars Incorporated, which manufactures M&M's, says purple represents acceptance and inclusivity. It's the first.
What? Purple represents acceptance and inclusivity, they say.
First new color in a decade.
Purple M&M's are available online now, but you won't find purple peanut M&M's. They only come in plain.
Oh, so the peanut M&M's are transphobic if they won't have purple peanut M&M's. I guess in the world of candy, just like men in our society today, if you want to have social justice legitimacy, you have to cut off your nuts. All right, I got to get out of here. The John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hey, no.
Wow. Speechless, yeah?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.